The scripture of this message is Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 5, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Let me read Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 5 first. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under from the right side of the house from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in a river that could not be forded. Amen. Next one's Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, and the children of Sunday school. This is the 16th session in the series on God Measures Our Faith. Water spiritually refers to the Word of God. In the scripture reading today, faith is measured by the extent to which the body is immersed in water. Through this passage, we can understand the importance of the Word of God in our Christian life. Yet, it's said that some of the churches today regard the Word of God lightly. Rather than the Word, they put more focus on praise, fellowship, and social services. When I visited Israel, the Holy Land, for the first time, I found that the church members were focusing on praising during the worship services. It was the same in the second church I visited. When I had an opportunity to preach there, I needed at least 1 hour because I had two translators, interpreters from Korean to English and English to local language. So at least I need to preach at least 20 minutes, but they spend most of the time during the worship service praising the Lord. And finally, I found out that the churches in Israel spend most of the worship time praising the Lord. And I realized later that that's because they didn't have words of God to preach. But I believe the situation has been changed. Reverend Oren Lep Ari from Israel visited Korea and participated in a leadership conference last week, and he confessed that we put the cross in our church. And he said, I found that even the Jews who came to attend the worship service were astonished to find the cross in the church. That's one of the changes. And they came to realize the importance of the Word of God more. Well, also they say that though the Word of God is preached, the message that the church members might not like to hear are not delivered. They try to avoid delivering messages about giving the tithe and keeping the Lord's Day holy and the pointing out sins, which might lay a burden on the church members. When I visited the local churches here in Korea in 1980s for conducting the evangelical meetings, and I pointed out the sins during the messages, and the pastors there asked me if it would be okay for me to point out the sins during the worship services in my church, because they said it's not possible or difficult for us to point out sin because the church members would leave. But these are the messages that the believers must hear, for they are the basics. Especially messages on sin are the essence in the way of the cross, which is the way of salvation. Therefore, we must take these messages as our spiritual bread. Of all the words in the 66 books of the Bible, we must take the contents not only on love, grace, and blessings, but also on sins and punishment as well. If we eat an unbalanced diet of only what we like, it will lead to malnutrition and eventually harm our body. It's the same with the Word of God. We shouldn't just take the Word that we like, but the entire Word of God, so that we can be spiritually healthy and possess the eternal life fully. Today, I will talk about the cases that result in one not receiving salvation because he doesn't take in every word of God. Pray in the name of the Lord that you will understand the meaning of the message fully and gain eternal life and gain it abundantly. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last session, among the sins depriving of salvation, I talked about the sixth, which is the evident works of the flesh. The seventh among the sins depriving of salvation is a case where one's righteousness is no better than that of the scribes and Pharisees. The one's righteousness is no better than that of the scribes and Pharisees. So Pharisees and the scribes are specialists in the Word of God, the law of God. But Jesus said that our righteousness should surpass than that of the scribes and Pharisees. We must not misunderstand when the pastor say that we're going to be saved only if we confess that we believe. Bible level says in that way, we must know the mate of the words of God. The God's word clearly says that with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We must understand the meaning of each words of the Bible. Otherwise, we may misunderstand, and it finally leads us into hell. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, as follows, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." It's very serious words of God. So we must keep that in mind when we live our Christian life. Oh, it's not like my style of words of God or something. And if we disregard, then we're going to be judged later. So not entering the kingdom of heaven means you cannot be saved. Here, righteousness is to act rightly in the sight of God. What kind of acts does God say are right? The acts are right when we put the word of God into practice. Conclusively speaking, righteousness is to practice the word of God. The scribes and Pharisees kept the law of Moses, the word of God, very strictly. The Pharisees were the ones who were keeping the law most strictly, even among the Jews of that time. They shunned anything that was against the law. So did the scribes. Scribes were the ones who interpreted the law and made documents based on the law, and they had thorough knowledge on the law. On outward appearances, they were blameless in keeping the law. In many places in the Bible, we can see how strictly they tried to keep the law. For example, they didn't keep just the law given through Moses, but also very strictly kept the traditions of the elders. In 1989, I visited the Holy Land first time, 23 years ago. I was not comfortable at first because we had food at hotel, and we just had the local food, but at the same time, we just enjoyed the Korean food we brought. And the hotel employees looked at us, and they just took the dried seaweed, and asking many questions, where did you get it, etc. And we said that, it's from sea, and they just investigated or checked it. whether it's appropriate to their own law. Specifically, the according to the book of the Leviticus, you know, we were foreigners and we are visitors from foreign countries. But why is it that they just meddle what we eat? At first, we were not comfortable because we couldn't even ride on the elevators on Shabbat day, and even we couldn't take photos, etc. That's how the people in Israel, not all of them, but the Orthodox Jews, kept the law, keep the law of God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 2 says, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, they are accusing the disciples of Jesus, saying that they are breaking the tradition of the elders. So the traditions of the elders are not the law of God, but rules made by man. They were the regulations that were added by man while interpreting the law of God. Even in Korea, so many churches and pastors have been condemned or judged as the heretical by the people according to their own standard, not based upon the Bible, the words of God. Pharisees kept those regulations very strictly, especially for keeping the Shabbat. They kept the traditions of the elders that were very complicated. And in the eyes of such people, it seemed Jesus and his disciples were violating the Sabbath many times. So when the church members witnessed or testified that they had been experiencing the spiritual realm, including the seeing the angels, etc., then the people outside of this church, without understanding the spiritual realm, they easily criticize what they witnessed. They even persecuted Jesus for healing a sick person on the Sabbath. For example, in John chapter 5, Jesus healed a person who had been sick for 38 years at Bethesda. Verse 16 says, "For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing this thing on the Sabbath." Now they are persecuting Jesus because he healed the sick person on Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they dismiss the good work of healing a sick person as labor that must not be done on Sabbath. When I established the church, many sick people came to this church and were brought to this church because the manifestation of the power of God was so evident and so dynamic at the church. And the people outside of this church try to criticize out of envy and jealousy. And they criticize us heretical because we didn't do the benediction at the end of the service. Because I was a minister at the time, not ordained pastor yet, so I was not able to benedict, bless the congregation at the end of the service at the time. And when we confessed the Lord's Prayer, we just did it according to the version in the Bible, exactly how Jesus taught the disciples. But in Korean version, there is one additional words in that Lord's Prayer. So I didn't do that. I didn't add up that additional one. And they just criticized us as heretical because we did not confess that additional words. And likewise, people try to criticize us heretical because we church members confessed or witnessed they have seen the angels and prophets in the spiritual realm, etc. So they missed the good work of healing a sick person as laborer that must not be done on Sabbath. When the sick person who was healed picked up his pallet and began to work, they criticized him, saying, "It is the Sabbath, and it's not permissible for you to carry your pallet." So the sick person who was healed He just began to work and carry his pallet. And they criticized him. They considered carrying a heavy object as labor. Of course, not being able to really understand the will of God in commanding us to keep the Sabbath holy, they did so due to spiritual ignorance and evil. On the other hand, we can also understand that they did try to keep the law very strictly. The Apostle Paul said, before he met the Lord, he was a Pharisee who was blameless as to the righteousness which is in the law. Philippians chapter 3 verses 5 to 6 says, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. We can infer that he was very passionate about keeping the law, since he said that he was blameless as to the law. Jesus said that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless our righteousness is better than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. When I was a beginner of Christian life, reading the Bible, I faced this kind of verses and thought to myself, what it means? I never skipped it in because I couldn't understand literally. So I just thought to myself and prayed to know the spiritual meaning in it. Unless I received the explanation from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, I was curious. So I just prayed till I received the explanation from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, now, how can we earn the recognition of the Lord in seeing that our righteousness is better than that of scribes and Pharisees? Do we also have to keep all the traditions of elders on top of the law? I believe you understand already that it doesn't mean that. Being righteous doesn't mean we can be saved only when we keep the law more perfectly than the scribes and Pharisees. They were blameless concerning the outward deeds, but they kept the law as formality and only in action. So they kept the law very well, but this was a formality and only in action. We should keep the law with our heart. But they didn't. Because they kept the law only on the outside, they didn't keep the law completely. What about you? Are you keeping the law with your heart? Are you keeping the law with your heart? So, choir members, are you keeping the law with your heart? Yes. That's why when we had a World Cup game, some of the church members watched the World Cup game even after midnight of the Saturday. So, early in the morning of the Lord's Day. After Daniel prayer meeting, they just went back home and they just turned on the TV set and they watched on the World Cup soccer game. If you just wait a bit, the next morning you would know the result of the game. But some of you couldn't wait and just enjoyed watching TV according to your own benefit. So you just violated the keeping the Lord's Day holy. That's why God's not pleased with you. Sunday, Lord's Day, we just visit some of the places and you just stop at the resting place and bought a cup of coffee or drinks, soda, etc. But I, for the last 30 years, since I established the church, I've never done that kind of things. I've never bought a cup of drink, etc. You can just wait a bit, and even you can prepare by yourself at home if you try to move around on the Lord's Day so that you may not violate the Lord's Day by purchasing some drinks at the resting place, etc. Well, that's because you don't keep the law of God with your heart. That's why this kind of things are happening. Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 19 says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So the list of these commandments, we must not omit it. And we must keep it with our heart. Are you living in this way? Then, there must be lots of the rich people here in the congregation, elders. It says, whoever annuls one of the list of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So what do you think will happen if you annul one of the greatest of the commandments? We can easily infer from the above passage that they will be difficult for us to receive salvation. Even if we do, the status will be fragile and there will be only one of the least in the kingdom of heaven. It was the case with the scribes and the Pharisees. They said they were keeping the law, but they discarded the core and kept only the shell of the law. What they missed was the heart, which is in justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe meat and deal and commune, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." And then Jesus said, "But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." So the tithe, tithe of mint and deal and cumin, and also justice and mercy and faithfulness. Namely, means we are keeping the law very well only when we keep it not only in action but also with the heart. So we should keep the love of God with the heart. When He offers, we do it. We must do it with the heart. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes didn't keep the law this way. They just controlled their actions while their hearts were filled with sin and evil. That's why Jesus rebuked them, saying, "Woe to you, hypocrites!" Therefore, the meaning in Jesus saying that our righteousness must be better than that of the scribes and Pharisees is as follows. It means those who take only what they like and agree to, but discard what they don't like among all the words of God. Those who keep only what they can keep and discard the rest. And furthermore, those who teach others to do the same cannot be saved. What is really heartbreaking is that today, among many in the Lord, we find many people belong to this category, and especially among preachers. They take the word that they can agree to, but they discard the word to which they don't agree. For example, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So if you look at a woman with lust without doing action, but Jesus said, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. The adultery will not be saved. That's why the Bible says that we must root it out, cast away even the simple nature of adultery. If you does the work of the flesh, you will not be saved. Some people say, how can we cast away an adulterous mind itself from the heart and discard the word of God? They say they believe the word of God is true, but if they can't keep it, they reject it and they teach others to do so. Do you think that God asks us to do what we can do it? Because we can do it, God commanded. It's not difficult. If you make up your mind and work hard, then you can do it. Those who stood on the rock of faith, those who enter into the level of spirit, yes, they don't have any even trace of this kind of adulterous mind in their heart. And there were some others refused the words of God that don't agree with sense or common sense or common knowledge of the world. For example, the Bible clearly tells us about the spiritual realm. But some denominations or churches do not really believe in the spiritual realm. If anybody says he has seen an angel or heard the voice of God, they don't hesitate to criticize such a person with their limited knowledge and experience, saying he's wrong and heretical, or they say that there's mysticism. The Bible mentions about these kind of things. They also quote some parts of the Bible in a wrong way to criticize such a person. This is the same as condemning Jesus with the law and traditions of the elders. Also, there are some people who acknowledge the word only as much as they are willing to believe. It's written in the Bible, if someone teaches that the end is near and to be on the alert, they consider him strange. In the meantime, they just casually attend church. It's really heartbreaking that some pastors are the ones who are planting such ideas into believers. But if we think about the words in the Bible, we can clearly see that we must be on the alert, even though we cannot know the day and the hour of the Lord's coming back. Also, there are signs of the end time that the Bible talks about, and we can see the end is very near. In other case, there are some people who only talk about love and forgiveness among the words of the Lord. They don't teach about the justice, namely the fact that the sins have the consequence of punishment. If you don't point out sins, fearing the you might lose your church members, they might fall into hell. Then what shall you do? If they practice and teach only the things that they think are good, how can anyone have spiritual faith? They cannot have faith to receive salvation, not to mention faith to receive blessing. Also, if they teach anybody, it is a blind man leading another blind man. Brothers and sisters, those who have true faith do not forsake any word of God, even if it doesn't agree with his own ideas at all. It is still the word of God. Jesus kept the word of God more strictly than anybody else did. Jesus kept the law from childhood, not just the law of God given through Moses, but he valued all the teachings of the prophets too. About this, Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill." Also, he obeyed all the words of God only with yes and amen. On top of this, Jesus kept the justice, mercy, and faithfulness which the Pharisees and the scribes had forsaken. Namely, he fulfilled the law with love. He showed us the way to keep the law in a true sense. He set the perfect example. So he fulfilled the law with love. So if you do with love, then you can keep the whole the law of God. And if we do have the heart of Jesus, then we cannot disregard any of the word, giving various excuses. We will try to keep all the words with all our best efforts. You believers here, try to leave the word of God as it is, especially because you heard the holiness gospel. You do not keep them in formality alone, just because you have to keep them. You try to keep them with your heart. It says, love your enemy, so you do not just pretend to be keeping it on the outside, but you try to cast up hatred and love that person with your heart. It says, don't steal, and you don't reluctantly obey it, but you try to cast up greed itself from your heart. Namely, try to accept all the words in the 66 books of the Bible with faith and try to keep them. So when you pray, you must pray with all your heart. When I looked at you during the Daniel prayer meeting, there are not so many people who prayed with heart. Even though physically you have some tiredness, if you just pray 20 minutes or 30 minutes continually with all your heart, then you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can cope with the tiredness. And you can pray with your heart. And if you continue to pray, then even tiredness will go away and you can be filled more and more. So, if you pray, which please God, for 6 months or 1 year, then you must receive the answer and the blessing. And it will not be burdensome, it will not be difficult to pray in that way. You would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will easily cope with this worldly things if you pray in that way. So, namely, you try to accept all the words in the 66 books of the Bible with faith and try to keep them. As you keep trying to do so, God says you are more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees, even if you might still have some shortcomings. The blood of Jesus Christ will redeem us from the curse of the law. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." As said, we can enter into the kingdom of heaven by being justified through the Lord. So therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As said, we can enter into the kingdom of heaven by being justified through the Lord. I hope you will understand that you will be saved not with the righteousness of the law, keeping it in actions only, but with the righteousness of faith. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus said, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law, until all is accomplished." As he said, all the words of God will be fulfilled. But if anyone doesn't believe the word of God, just because he doesn't agree with his ideas, and furthermore, if he judges those who believe it as it is, saying they are foolish, how could he be able to stand before the Lord on the judgment day? So how could he be sure of his salvation? Our church will boldly proclaim the will of God the way we have been doing it. If you think about the prophets and the history of Christianity, all men of God proclaim the word of God as it is. This is the way to please God the Father. All need to lighten the darkness. Also, one cannot make people's hearts holy with men's wisdom and words. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 records, "For the kingdom of God doesn't consist in words, but in power. As recorded, it can be done only with spiritual power. This spiritual power is given when we practice the word with faith in God and with love." Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ and viewing audiences, I believe you have been attending this church, know a great deal about the 66 books of the Bible. You heard not just about justice, but also about sin and judgment. You know about heaven as well as hell. You know about the lesser of the commandments as well as great commandments. Now I believe very few of you have so little faith that you take only the word of God that agrees with your soul. But this is not enough. Now, you should become bright lights to shed light on darkness and perform its spiritual power. Therefore, you shouldn't just stay at the level of just knowing the word or just trying to practice the word. John chapter 6 verse 53 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself.'" We shouldn't put the words of God in our head just as knowledge. This might rather lead us to spiritual arrogance. Therefore, we have to take in the word of God in our heart, and we have to do it completely. Namely, we have to keep the word of God in our heart and practice it so that the truth will become our blood and flesh. As you do that, you will receive fullness of spiritual life, and then you can revive the lives of other souls. You can also proceed to reach the level of becoming truly righteous and not just being justified through faith, thereby performing great power of God. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Some people just try to hide his sickness and diseases and ask me to pray without telling all the details. And how can God heal you without saying all the details? And if you pray for all the souls, there will be works of repentance and divine healing. Until such a thing will become possible, you must never cease to expend your endurance and hard work to follow the will of God fully at each moment. Your efforts will not be useless. God will certainly pay you back according to your deeds. He will give such truly righteous men New Jerusalem and the crown of righteousness. Pray in the name of the Lord that you will all become truly righteous men, be commanded by the Lord for that, and live in the glory that will shine like the sun. Let's pray together considering the message today. Father, Lord, thank you for message. Father, let's make the messages we have this morning our spiritual bread, and help us to have eternal life through these messages. And Father, let us cast away what should we cast away, and let us do what we should do. Father, help us to act according to your will. Lord, thank you. Strengthen us, give us the faith, and we just finished the leadership conference. Father, let us make up our mind and cast away even adultery in our heart. And Father, if we act this kind of adultery, then we should resign. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let me pray for the sick. Lay your hand on the sick part of the body. Father God, lay your hand on us now, from the top of the head to the end of the feet, from the inner part and the inner organization, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be scorched and be strong, both physically and spiritually. Transcending the time and space, Father, work through them. And Pastor Kim Chun-ho in Canada, he's going to have a leadership conference and some retreat with Pastor Hyesun Lee. Father, bless him to have a prosperous event. And Pastor Kim Kyung-hee from Taiwan, bless her to have a movement of the church sanctuary prosperously. And Rupert Do from the United States of America, Father, healed him of the cerebral hemorrhage. And Father Christian from Colombia is addicted by the drug. Father, healed him. And Joseph Parasol from Belgium, bless him to have a license or permission from the country to stay there with the family. Father, and Andrei from Ukraine, Father, bless him to have a better, good job and work for a drug rehabilitation center. And Pastor Yun bless him to preach well. And Lee Yi-Lian Sun, bless her to be healed of high blood pressure and pain in the knee. And Wang Bopang, Yi Ong-Nian, the heart disease and the high blood pressure, etc. And Qi Shi-Chin, cerebral hemorrhage, healed him. And Meng Qin-Shu, and diabetes and heart disease, Father, healed him. And Wei Jian-Hai, heart disease and high blood pressure, healed him. And Liu Hongsha, a problem in the uterus and skin disease, healed her. And Wang Guiqin, problem in the brain and the high blood pressure and inflammation in the nose, etc., healed her. Dong Meilin, the problem in the spine, and Su Shen Sheng, diabetes, and problem in the liver, and Jory Tong, the heart disease and rheumatism, and Kim Jong-ye, a pain in the ankle of the left hand, and Lu Hui Mei. Her husband has diabetes and heal him. And Ryu Yong-ha, bless her to have a better job. Father, from the top of the head to the end of the feet, and all the internal organs and nervous system, bless the church members to be strong. And bless them to heal well and strengthen the liver and kidney, etc. And diabetes and the cancers, terminal cancer and pneumonia, go away. Father, take hold of our church vehicles and protect the protection system and protect us and give us peace. Father, give us peace this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.